Beginning. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Lord be with you.
And also
Let us pray. Grant us, Lord, not to be anxious about earthly things, but to love things heavenly. And even now, while we're placed among things that are passing away, to hold fast to those that shall endure, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Being anxious for hardship, mourning, or misfortune to end, in order that your interests may better be served, can result in pouring hardship, mourning, and misfortune on yourself. A reading from the book of the prophet Amos. Will not the land tremble for this and all who mourn in it? I'm sorry, excuse me. Hear this, you who trample the needy and do away with the poor of the land, saying, when will the new moon be over that we may sell grain and the Sabbath be ended that we may market wheat, skimping the measure, boosting the price, and cheating with dishonest scales, buying the poor with silver and the needy for a pair of sandals, selling even the sweepings with the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the pride of Jacob, I will never forget anything they have done. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The psalm for this morning is Psalm 138, found in your bulletins on page 4. We will read in unison. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Before the gods, I will sing your praise. I will bow down towards your holy temple and praise your name because of your love and faithfulness. For you have glorified your name and your word above all things. When I called, you answered me. You increased my strength within me, and the kings of the earth will praise you, O Lord, when they have heard the words of your mouth. They will sing of the ways of the Lord, that great is the glory of the Lord. Though the Lord be high, he cares for the lowly. He perceives the haughty from afar. Though I walk in the midst of trouble, you keep me safe. You stretch forth your hand against the fury of my enemies. Your right hand shall save me. The Lord will make good his purpose for me. O Lord, your love endures forever. Do not abandon the works of your hand. World, our bosses at work, our government, our social betters, authorities are clear and few in the realm of God's kingdom. Indeed, we need only entreat the Lord our God, as he is the ultimate judge. A reading from the first letter of Paul to Timothy. I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgivings be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time. And for this purpose, I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I am telling the truth. I am not lying, and a teacher of the true faith to the Gentiles. I want men everywhere to lift up holy hands in prayer without anger or disputing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm sorry, I was listening to the choir. The Holy Gospel of our Lord according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
I'm reading from the 16th chapter of Luke. And this is a story of a dishonest manager. And it tied into Amos, where the word of the Lord is, if you're dishonest, I won't forget. I prefer the teaching to people of faith, that he'll separate our sin as far as the east is from the west. That's a form of forgetting that life. So listen to Luke 16, the end of the last two verses. Jesus was also saying to the disciples, there was a rich man who had a manager, and this manager was reported to him as squandering his possessions. And he called him and said to him, what is this I hear about you? Give an accounting of your management, for you can no longer be manager. The manager said to him, what shall I do, since my master is taking the management away from me? I'm not strong enough to dig. I'm big. And he says to himself, I know what I shall do, so that when I'm removed from the management, people will welcome me into their homes. And he summoned each of his master's debtors and began saying to the first, how much do you owe my master? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said, take your bill, sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, how much do you owe? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said to him, take your bill and write 80. And his master praised the unrighteous manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the sons of this age are more shrewd in relation to their own kind than the sons of light. And I say to you, make friends for yourself by means of the wealth of unrighteousness, so that when it fails, they will receive you into the eternal dwellings. He who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much, and he who is unrighteous in a very little thing is unrighteous also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the use of unrighteous wealth, who will entrust the true riches to you? And if you have not been faithful in the use of that which is another's, who will give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please be seated. So this morning I want to take you on a little excursion from the gospel where in one of the last verses I shared, no one can serve two masters, and think about what that might mean in light of Matthew 11. Earlier in Matthew 11, something that ties in really well with what Denise read from Amos, Jesus talks about the cities where he has done miracles, and specifically he speaks about Capernaum, which is now his home. And he says, if the miracles that were done in Sodom, that town would still be alive today, but yet you have rejected it. It will be better in the day of judgment for Sodom than it will for you, for all that you have seen and rejected. So some powerful words about judgment and rejection. And in the message I want to read to you from Matthew 11, it's verses 28 to 30. You can turn there if you'd like and memorize them maybe by the time I get there. But Capernaum, which is now Jesus' home, is a prosperous seaport on the Sea of Galilee, and it's also right on a major commercial highway of that day that leads to Damascus. So it was a place of great commerce. It was a wonderful place to live. There was action. There was business. And the business was usually fairly good. And what had happened earlier to the passage I want to share with you is that Jesus is in full force. He has healed a paralytic. You may remember the man who was led down through a roof so that he'd come into Jesus' presence to be healed. And they went through the roof because the crowd in the house and around the house was so large that they couldn't break through with this paralytic. And it was also in this chapter that John the Baptist is in jail, and he sends message to Jesus, "Are you really who I thought you were?" And Jesus sends back word, "Tell John, here's what you see, the miracles that have happened." And so also earlier in this chapter, there's a day when Jesus walks by Matthew, who was a tax collector, who was in this busy seaport, quite successful, and he looks at Matthew and he says, "Follow me." Matthew immediately got up, left a good business, and followed an uncertain future with Jesus. Think about the concept from the gospel. No one can serve two masters. Matthew served the master of commerce, and he was successful. He left that now to serve another master. And it obviously powerfully changed his life. A little bit later, it says that that Jesus went to Matthew's house where there was a big feast. He had invited some of his former associates who were tax collectors and people that the religious community called sinners, people that didn't behave like the holy Jewish leadership thought that they should. And the disciples were asked by some of the Pharisees, "How come your master dines with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus overhears them and says, "I didn't come to heal those who don't need a physician. I came for those who are sick." And this is at Matthew's house. He had his life dramatically changed. He had been serving one master, immediately left that master, and followed after Jesus without knowing what that meant, but knowing that it was right for him. And in a simple way, that's what it means for each one of us when we say, "Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior," that we are leaving one master, which might be the world, which might be commerce, and saying, like Matthew, "I follow you." Now here are the verses that I want to share with you. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Anyone have them memorized yet? Just checking. "Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." That's what Matthew discovered And in his gospel, he writes specifically to Jewish believers like himself, who he wants to understand that Jesus truly is the Messiah promised in the Old Testament. But as I was reflecting on this passage this week, Jesus' invitation to us is striking, to come and take my yoke. He doesn't offer a fourfold path to peace that includes enlightenment like the Buddha did. He doesn't give us five pillars of peace through true submission like Islam offers. What he simply says is, I'm the solution to your life. Just come to me. There isn't something that you need to do. Just come to me. And that's a powerful reality that for Matthew dramatically changed his life. And so we read that story in his gospel. He says, take my yoke. The oxen's yoke was used for tying the ropes to the animal for pulling so that it could pull the plow or what other harvest vehicle was needed in the field of that day. And it was extremely important that the yoke is fit to the oxen. If it didn't fit the animals, then it would scrape and cause abrasions, and the animals wouldn't be effective in the use that the farmer has for them. Jesus says his yoke is light. And so that means that what he has for you and I is effective and is not burdensome. If you're at all like me, and you probably are, we all carry heavy burdens at times in our lives. Whether you think about it like this, we all have yokes on our lives. There are things that we take upon ourselves to provide for our family, to care for others. It's a part of discipline that we're not Mustangs on an open range. We work in certain ways. We live in certain ways that is really a yoke. I have thought about this many times, that after my wife died, now a little bit over 3.5 years ago, when she died, I was unyoked. It was difficult to understand what to go, how to do things, because it was no longer a partnership. It was just me. And it takes a while to understand what that means and how to begin to live in a different way. So in many ways, we are yoked. I was reflecting also this week about our Uncle Tom. When we first came to this country, moved to Milan, Ohio, there was a man that we called Uncle Tom. He was an older man who did not believe in tractors. And he had a small plot of land that he worked with a horse and a plow, and he would harvest by hand a small piece of property. And our Uncle Pete, who owned the farm, said that was fine, that's how he is comfortable. And so he would put a harness on his horse to help pull that thing. And in many ways, as a kid, as I learned to drive tractors on the farm, tractors were like yokes that made the same work that Uncle Tom labored doing much more efficient, much more productive. And so yokes are not a negative thing. The yoke is there to help us to be more effective. When you agree to take a job, or you, as my brother went into public education, you're basically signing a contract. I want to be yoked in this career path. It limits you, but it also frees you to be more effective in what you really want to do. But Jesus is saying, take my yoke. It won't add burden, because my yoke is light. Take my yoke upon you. Doesn't mean more responsibilities. And a couple of thoughts here I'd like to share with you today about yokes. One is that a yoke is truly a symbol of partnership. And I believe as you read Scripture, we were never meant to go through life alone. We were never meant to be solo performers on earth. We were meant to be in partnership. And the true partnership, aside from any human relationships, is with the Lord Jesus, that as we take on his yoke in faith, that he promises, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he says in another place in John that I will send you a helper, and that is the Holy Spirit, that there's a partnership. There's a thing that when Tammy died, I did not have to go through that grief alone. Of course, I had family and friends, but I discovered that I also had the Lord in my life who provided strength and focus to go through uncharted waters. I'll share your load, Jesus says. I will make your load lighter because I go with you. It's a partnership. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, because his yoke is fitted for us. The destiny that he has for us is suited for who we are all the days of our lives, never alone. Psalm 55:22 says, cast your burden upon the Lord, and he'll sustain you. A part of taking his yoke is, like Matthew, who had another yoke, you cast that onto the Lord, and you receive his burden, or rather his yoke, which is light. It's an amazing transformation. If you've ever felt overloaded, overstrained, it's like I'm carrying too much weight on myself. I need a partnership in my life. And that's what Jesus' yoke is, a partnership that makes the work doable and actually enjoyable because we're productive together. We're not meant to do life alone. And then the second aspect of yoke, yes, it's a partnership, but it's also a symbol of control, that when I am walking with the Lord, I'm no longer a Mustang on the open range. I choose a restricted lifestyle, but I find that my restricted lifestyle, there are things I don't do because I'm a follower of Jesus, simply because it's not helpful to me. And so his yoke guides us in living in a way that ultimately is for our benefit and produces greater fruit in our lives and for those around us. When my parents died, some years ago now, my mom of Alzheimer's and my dad of some form of dementia, apparently, it was very, very difficult to deal with these people who had always cared for us, always seen to our needs, were always amazingly supportive, even when I did stupid things. And now they were at a place where they needed support and care. And one of the most important things that my brother and I discovered is that we cared for them together. We didn't do it as one child. We did it as two brothers together, and we provided support for each other. And that's a physical way, but in a spiritual way, that is what the Lord provides for our life. We are not meant to do it alone. We're meant to do it in partnership and under his control. In Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. There are times that you go through things that are difficult to grasp. Lord, I don't get what this means. Don't lean on your own understanding. I'm yoked with Jesus. Lord, I trust you where you're going to lead me, that this will be redemptive in the end. And to me, that's a powerful way to look at challenges in our life, that we are yoked with him. He is ultimately in control with us as we yield to his direction and his leading. Jesus says, I want you to take my yoke upon you. Have you taken that yoke? Are you on a daily basis understanding that you have a partnership with the Lord and that he will control your direction, protect you from those things that would lead you in ways that would be destructive? It's a powerful reality. It changed Matthew's life so much that in an instant, when he understood what Jesus was saying, he left his career to be yoked with Jesus, and it transformed his life. And I encourage you to reflect on that for yourself. Are you walking in a way that you are in partnership and being led and controlled by the Holy Spirit in your life, in your decisions? It changes everything. Who knows? We hear how Matthew was used by the Lord. Who knows how even today, as you are yoked with the Lord, he would use you as you just yield to him. Let's stand now and share our confession of faith using the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
The prayers of the people this morning are Form 4, found on page 6 in your bulletins. After each petition, you're encouraged to offer your own prayers, either silently or aloud. Let us pray for the church and for the world. Grant, Almighty God, that all who confess your name may be united in your truth, live together in your love, and reveal your glory in the world. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Guide the people of this land and of all the nations in the ways of justice and peace, that we may honor one another and serve the common good. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Give us all a reverence for the earth as your own creation, that we may use its resources rightly in the service of others and to your honor and glory. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless all whose lives are closely linked with ours, and grant that we may serve Christ in them and love one another as he loves us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Comfort and heal all those who suffer in body, mind, or spirit. Give them courage and hope in their troubles, and bring them the joy of your salvation. We ask for health and recovery for Lillian, Mary Lou, Bob, Barb, Michael, Bill and Judy, Irv, Marilyn, Karen, Lois, Sharon, Steve, Joan, Velta, Rose, Art, George, Dave, for Friends of Advent, for Tony, Sylvia, Trevor, Ken and Jim, Richard, and for the Eliza Jennings residents. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We commend to your mercy all who have died, that your will for them may be fulfilled, and we pray that we may share with all your saints in your eternal kingdom. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And please join with me in the following prayer. Our Father in heaven,
We pray with open hearts and minds to know your will for us. Reveal to us the initiatives we should take, for nourishing ourselves with your word, for supporting each other in Christian fellowship, for taking the gospel to outside communities, and for loving and serving others in the power of your Spirit.
We are grateful for the pastoral encouragement you have provided us in this season. We are grateful for our lay leadership in their shouldering of extra burdens. Lord, we ask that you lay bare the hearts of this congregation and open each one of us to every new day. Open us to what you have for our future as a new church family in Christ. Amen.
Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy upon you, forgive you all of your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. The peace of the Lord be with you. Now share that with one another.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Let me start by drawing your attention to this flyer that is in the bulletin today. The Northeast Ohio Youth Chamber Chorus is an initiative that Dark Curry is heading up. There were places, there was an article in this week's edition of the Westlake Bay Village Observer, as well as an ad. And this weekend and last weekend, there were 60-second spots on the fish. Three on Thursday, three on Friday, two on Saturday, and two on Sunday. They're randomly assigned. I'm not sure how they go about deciding that, but Andrea DeZurich said this morning at 8 o'clock service that she had heard it two different times. So Dara's also worked hard to get this information out to the music departments of all of the local schools, middle schools and high schools, to drum up interest in some of the students joining us. So this is an initiative that Dara is taking on, and we're certainly supporting her in trying to generate what is an exciting opportunity for youth to learn some music and to become a part of, hopefully, the Advent community. So Dara, thank you very much for that initiative and for your work in helping to make this happen. Last Wednesday night was another awesome service by the surrounding the Praise community. They are a group that is meeting here at Advent from 7 to 8:30 every Wednesday night, and we're thankful that Paul has helped make that happen, and we're happy to have this venue be available for them to worship the Lord. Let me also say that another initiative that Bill Benedict has helped to initiate here at Advent is the Healing Room. It's an international healing ministry. They meet the second Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock here at Advent. And Bill has mentioned this morning that he would ask our prayers for him this afternoon at 4 o'clock. Bill is going to Cleveland Clinic to pray with a woman named Marion and her husband Michael, who are in serious medical condition. Bill's not sure where they stand in their faith journey with the Lord, so he's asking all of us to hold him and Marion and Michael up in prayer this Sunday afternoon at 4 o'clock. An important ministry at Advent, an important ministry for Bill and his Healing Room team, and most especially, I hope, an important time for Marion and Michael. Finally, there will be someone to pray with you in the back during communion. If you have prayers of thanks, prayers of need, someone will be there to pray and worship with you. Peace be with you.
As we prepare for the Lord's Supper, let's present our offerings to the Lord.
My heart, O Lord, take.
We continue with the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator of the light and the source of life, who has made us in thine image and called us to new life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, who forever sing this hymn to proclaim the glory of your name. Holy and gracious Father, in your infinite love, you made us for yourself. And when we have fallen into sin and become subject to evil and death, you in your mercy sent Jesus Christ, your only and eternal Son, to share our human nature, to live and die as one of us, to reconcile us to you, the God and Father of all. He stretched out his arms upon the cross and offered himself in obedience to your will, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord took bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, also after he'd given thanks, he took into his hands the cup, and he lifted it up in front of them and said, "Take and drink of this cup, for this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for many, for the remission of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. We celebrate the memorial of our redemption, Father, in this sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Recalling his death, resurrection, and ascension, we offer you these gifts. Sanctify them, O Lord, by your Holy Spirit, to be for your people the body and blood of your Son, the holy food and drink of new and unending life in him. Sanctify us also, that we may faithfully receive this holy sacrament and serve you in unity, constancy, and peace. And at the last day, bring us with all your saints into the joy of your eternal kingdom. All this we ask through your Son, Jesus Christ, by him, with him, and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit. All honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Let us pray as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Alleluia, Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. The gifts of God are for the people of God. I invite you to come in faith and receive.
Blood of Christ, the cup of salvation. Thank you.
could have the beginning of the choir. Yes. Wasn't the music team exceptionally strong today? Love it. Come back next week. Why don't you join with me in the post-communion prayer? Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace, and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart through Christ our Lord. Amen. Now may the precious body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ guard and keep you until life everlasting. Amen.
Thank you.
folks, go with great joy today as you serve the Lord with heart, soul, and mind.
Thanks be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
See, you didn't know what to say when I changed it. God bless you.
Right.